you say that failure is opportunity. Can you just talk about that? Because there's a lot of people that think failure is just failure.
well, that comes from, I put that on the back of the t-shirts, failure is opportunity, which is an abbreviated version because I couldn't fit the whole thing on the t-shirt, which is what my dad used to say, which is failure is just opportunity in disguise. And he would say it like, my dad was not an athlete, but he, like I said, came to all of our games growing up. And like, I remember playing football in high school and like we'd, you know, lose to some team that we should have beaten or we were, you know, whatever happened. And he'd be, you know, like he'd have all these little, it's crazy. It's like, I'm just thinking about it. He forgets that he did this, but like he had like legal pads and he would like write all these things like, you know, you know, like Fox Lane didn't beat John Jay. John Jay beat John Jay, like all this stuff, and like post it up like I'd be going to get like a bowl out for you know, breakfast in the morning, and I'd see this legal pad. And like, yeah, I mean, it's really like pretty amazing if you think about it. And he was not into sports himself at all, but he was, you know, kind of just I think being a good dad. And so that was one of his expressions. Failure is just opportunity in disguise. And it, you know, if you want to see that in practice, I could give you the Sopranos story, which is about 9 months before the Sopranos. I was in New York, and I went in for a soap opera. Now, a soap opera is not like when I set out to act. I didn't want to be. That's not exactly what I was thinking I would want to do. But I'm in New York and I'm waiting tables and I'm bartending. I got no money, you know, like I'm scraping, man. And a soap offered an opportunity to go work and be paid and have a contract or whatever. So I go in for this thing and it goes well and they call me back and they call me back again. They call me back. And it's like a bunch of callbacks later, I'm at a screen test in Brooklyn on the set of this soap. And it's like me and two other guys. I'm nervous, but I prepare myself. I go in. I feel really good about it. I talk to my agent afterward. I'm like, I think it went well. I think I'm going to get this thing. So like 2 days later, he calls me and, you know, he's like, it's not going any further. You didn't get it. And I was like, ugh. And you just, I can't describe it to someone who doesn't act, but it's like you did there's all of this hope, all of this envisioning of like what it's going to be like, I'll leave the waiting job. I'll leave the bartending job. I'm going to have, you know, money for years coming in. I'm going to be working. I'll be on TV, you know, all this stuff. And then it's just like, wham, there's no second prize. There's no, you know, prize for second place. Yeah. It's just no. You're like, shit, you're back to zero. You're back to square one. Right. And you just say, oh, and you know, you go back, you're slinging drinks or whatever you're doing. And you're in class. So about 9 months after that was when The Sopranos came in, went in, same thing, went in for the casting director, called back for the producers, called back again, heard that I was the front runner, but they wanted to see me one last time. I thought, oh, great, they're not going to give it to me. And this is The Sopranos, right? Yeah. Go back in, super nervous, sitting there waiting to go in. A guy comes by, goes, relax, kid. I looked up, it's David Chase. And he goes in the room. I go in, I give the audition. Feels good, but I'm still like, come on, man, this is a Sopranos. About an hour later, I get a call, you got the part. And it was like a good chunk of a part. And the failure is just opportunity in disguise is that soap that I didn't get, someone else could have taken that as a failure and just been like, I'm done. Yeah. I'm hanging it up. I didn't know from that vantage point that The Sopranos was 9 months down the road. I didn't know that door was down the hallway, you know? Like, that failure was an opportunity in disguise. It opened me up. If I had done the soap, I wouldn't be going in for Sopranos. Sopranos, you know, talk about a job that pays dividends. Like, they didn't pay me a lot of money for doing it, but, I mean, for years after that, I'd be on other jobs that I got on you know, good shows. And after like being there for 2 or 3 weeks, they go, so what's it, you know, what was it like working with Gandolfini? Or what was it like being, and you're like, oh, you knew I was on The Sopranos? And they're like, yeah, we knew you were on it. And you realize like that show within the industry was just so well respected. Yeah. It helped. it helped, you know, it put me on a different path. Yeah. And I couldn't see that the day that I got the call that the soap wasn't going any further, right? But that's a quote unquote failure.
Yeah. It's the universe working for you in a way, right? Do you believe in the universe, and how what did you learn from the guests? Do they believe in some bigger power or like?
I feel like actually I was just saying this with someone I interviewed, a guy who played in the NFL for 10 years the other day, and he was quoting from the Bible, and I said, you know, people
listen
come in.
Listen to that one. He's such
No, that's another one. This is a new guy. Hasn't been out yet. Oh. Yeah, this guy, Heath Evans, is great. But I said, you know, it's not everybody comes in is of a particular religion, but I would say almost every guest has some higher purpose, some higher belief, something that's driving them that's beyond just what's right in front of them. And for me, you know, I grew up Roman Catholic, ironically went to college, a Jesuit college, Boston College, and went kind of away from the church, kind of come back, gone away, come back, gone away. And now I feel like my faith has kind of brought me back, but I've been going to this church in my town. It's like a non-denominational Christian church, which I never saw myself doing that, but I just happened to meet this guy who was the father of another kid that my son played basketball with, and he had moved here to be the pastor of this church, and he invited me to go, and I went, and I was like, this dude is awesome. Like, he's speaking to me. So I feel like there is a faith, I would say if, you know, over the years, I've just always had something larger guiding me. Yeah. Like, I always feel like it's my job to do everything I can do to help my own cause. And I need to do that. Everybody needs to do that. But there's also a part of me, not even a part of me, there's also a belief that I have that's like, I'm only this, you know, I'm this one little dude, right? Like, I can't do, no matter what I like, you're gonna try to do everything you want to do and muscle it through and everything. It's like, you need help, you know? And I realize, like, I need help, and things happen that are out of my control, and people come to my aid. I've been, you know, I feel like I've been the beneficiary of a ton of goodwill, a ton of great coaches, great parents I've been mentioning, you know, my siblings, like friends, like my wife is awesome. My kid, you know, it's like, I'm a lucky dude. And like, you can't, so I do believe like you need to hustle your ass off. But at the end of the day, you can still hustle your ass off and get hit by a bus. Like, you can't control that, you know? Hustle your ass off and there's an earthquake. Bang, you're done. Like, I feel like there's like a little bit of perspective.
You got to relax a little bit and have some fun too.
Well, yeah, you just realize, like, you know, you control what you can control, and then the rest is in God's hands. And it, you know, if you don't believe in God, then it's in the universe's hands, or it's in something bigger than you.
Yeah.
That's my belief. And, you know, some people believe that, some people don't. And, you know, to each his own. I don't, you know, I respect what anybody thinks. That's my take on it right now.